And we're live from the Good News Radio Station. This is Touchdowns and Tangents. I'm PD Camarillo. No, the mic is on. I just can't hear the sound effects. But outside of that, shout out to Keith for hooking us up with the Good News Dad hats, trucker hat in Kenny's case.
I will snap.
Like the birthday. Like the back of your snapback is stabbing you right now. That was actually perfect, though. That sound was perfect for that moment.
Why are all my friends being me when you start the hero?
Why are you so sensitive in 2019? I thought I was a sensitive one in the show.
I tried to get in touch with my feelings for 10 seconds.
Oh, there we go. So which the music was playing that whole time, so...
You might have heard what I just said. You might not have. Who knows?
Yeah, man. Who knows about how long that hat is... If that hat is going to make it on your head through the end of the show. What's the over-under? 15 minutes?
Try two more jokes, motherfucker.
That shit's really going to snap back at me, bro. That shit might... Come at me like a boomerang.
I'm going to aim it at your eyes so you can't see the punch you have coming towards your face. That'll be the real punchline.
Kenny's really getting red over here. I've never made him blush like this. He's really embarrassed.
I hate every person
got
in
that
this room.
2X head, bro. You can never talk smack about my hook head no more.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. You got them Nathans. They're not even ballparks. You got the hot links in the back of your head, bro. They evolved.
You wanted to say this for a while.
I did.
Like, since you met me. Like, let's keep it a buck. I get it. Ha ha. Kenny has no neck. We know already.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the tailgate going on the back of your head, bro.
Fam, why do you still have a tucked in shirt? I'm just like, like your stomach is honestly, like, that's why your chest is so big. Like, the rest of your fucking mass is shot up to your chest because your stomach, you have nowhere to breathe. That tight ass shirt on.
Says a dude with the stomach hanging out little sweater.
Actually, no, I'm not. It's actually not.
All right,
hey,
man.
Again, we both need to lose weight. All right.
All right. Done? There we go. 2019 knew us. We've been saying that for 2 years.
This is going to go to a really dark place.
I'm still trying to lose 2017's weight.
I'm trying to get my credit back over 720. Shit.
All right, man. But you know what it is. Touchdowns and Tangents. Your spot for NFL takes, tangents, context. And tons of petty banter.
Keith, you should have known to give me a bigger hat, man. That's fucked up.
Yeah, you might have needed to order a special edition beanie just for KB.
I'm going to take this shit off and I'm going to have a crease in the back of my head. Like, be like every fucking ex-offensive line coach that coaches in the inner city.
That shit's going to look like your ankles, bro, when you take your socks off.
That went too far. There's a lifetime of pain in my ankle. You just didn't have to say that.
But yeah, man, on that note, jokes aside, man, I'm going to get to the...
Actually, no, it's the earphones that hurt. Never mind.
Yeah, man. The only thing worse than that hat on your head right now is the way Bama took a loss this week.
By the way, you said you hate college football, and I already said that Clemson was going to beat the star ratings out of Alabama, and they did.
They beat just like I'm going to beat the snaps off the back of your head, bro.
Wow. Are you reading off of a fair statement? Because I honestly should have. Keep the hat on.
I'm praying,
I don't want to talk about
I'm praying
hairline.
For that last snap on the back of the hat. All right? That's all.
I'm praying for your barber to know what a one is. You ain't never had a barber go zzz in a straight line across your forehead ever. Asymmetrical ass hairline. How you born with a stillborn-shaped head? I don't understand that.
He's like, really mad. Like, He's really mad. He's going like, in the bag right now.
Like, your scalp never had a chance. It's sad. Like, don't even use Just for Men's.
All right, man. But back to Bama.
Fucking they were getting xenomorph mauled. Head-ass looking ass boy. Yes, I said
really,
xenomorph.
He's really mad.
Watch the movie Alien. Fuck y'all.
But yeah, man. Alabama, they lost. Got the dog shit beat out of them. They were getting mossed.
Nick Saban,
it was bad.
Nick Saban literally, like, when they did that fake field goal,
That was such a terrible call.
His assistant looked like,
bro, where? Hey,
I don't want you to kill me, but it was the other guy's idea.
And what? In what universe does that ever work? A fake field goal with a QB run up the middle on 4th and 1, maybe
with Christian maybe? Wilkins in the game at 3 technique. The only place that works is the alternate universe where this snapback fits and you actually have a respectable barber. That's the only place. And the Chiefs are actually going to win their playoff game.
Hey, not. On that same note, though, what's up with Tua? Because we got to talk about
Tua's
it.
Tua's dad is going to beat a year ago,
we were talking about Tua as the consensus number one pick when he comes out. We're talking about him being a great QB. And what? He had, what, 4 turnovers in that game?
I mean,
a pick six to start off the game?
That pick six got me so hyped. I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to win this game. And then they picked their second cornerback.
So I want to dead all this anointing number one picks like 2 years in advance because
Keith,
it's not accurate.
I get it. I'm sorry.
You got to get the 360 view on there. You got to get the VR for
that,
bro.
The fishbowl cam. That's fucked up. I don't know what effects he's using. all I know is, though, when it comes to the whole Clemson-Alabama game, Clemson just clearly is recruiting better. Like,
that's what I was going to ask, bro.
Like, Bama gets the high profile. Okay, let me get the number one running back in this class. Like, you have like Najee Harris should have got more playing time.
Is this a change of the guard? Like, is Clemson the new Alabama now?
Clemson is Clemson. Alabama is the old guard.
Clemson,
Alabama went the way of USC once they lost to Texas. They were never the same. Because Vince Young's knee was down in the first quarter, and then they said, "Oh, the replay machine broke," but they didn't.
Hey, does Vince
game.
Young? Yeah, yeah.
By the way, him and a couple other people were actually up for.
So who got Reggie's Heisman that he had to return? Does anyone get that?
Nobody.
So there's just regardless. A line across where the Heisman Trophy is.
Did you live to see that period?
No, I got CTE.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the best player that year. Vince Young was the best player that night.
Pause.
And honestly, had Pete Carroll actually just, you know, put – I feel bad for Pete Carroll because, like, if you look, he didn't pass more with Seattle and they lost the game. And then, like, he didn't run the ball enough. So they lost, like, that national title game and then they lost on the Super Bowl. Like Pete Carroll's probably –
He's
really
overthinking shit.
No, he's really close to, like, probably a psychotic break if he has, like, one more choke job.
You know what's crazy? When you look at – and we'll get to that
all
later.
All he needs is a botched field goal.
We'll get to the NFC West later, but when you look at all the coaches, Pete Carroll is, like, literally could be their dad.
He's their grandfather. No, their grandfather.
He could be Sean McVay's dad. He could be Clint Clillsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Whatever his name is. Clout Chasing.
Salisbury Steak. Sean Salisbury. Palisbury. Modern day Manhattan Beach. I'm just picking spots where, like, Cliff Kingsbury would probably be.
Coach is so white. Well, I guess that's a perfect segue on that note.
Hashtag NFL coaches.
You want to break it down?
All right. So, apparently, NFL loves to clout chase because they're just
trying to find the Sean McVay by hiring
a
young, eligible white man.
There's definitely some homosexual undertones with how they keep describing his looks and then compare. It's like, does Sean McVay not have any black friends? Now I'm questioning, like, yo, fam, all your white buddies getting jobs and y'all all clear.
Lululemon is taking over head coaches now.
Like, y'all, like, is Supercuts really, was this Supercuts master plan after all? Like, damn.
Come on, bro. You could at least say Sport Clips. Come on.
First off, Sports Clips is a crack baby of, like, I would rather just go, like, rather than go to Sports Clips, I'd rather get a happy ending and let the chick cut my hair.
Hey, if Sports Clips comes in right now and gives us a bag, you better go there and get your hair cut.
Excuse you? I mean, I'll get like a facial cleansing and all that.
You're going to be in the commercial,
get
in the chair,
manicure,
smiling, living your best life. So shut your ass up.
Next to a white
shout
girl,
out to Sport Clips. Yeah, sponsor man. This show.
I was going
to
make a cocaine joke.
Sponsor this show.
That could work. We could work that out with good news. But I mean, you actually have to go to the barber consistently.
Yeah, man. Kidney shot Kenny. That's all I gotta say.
I mean, damn.
Bro, you look like a 90s football coach right now with this hat on and those glasses.
I feel like I looked
and
in the mirror.
It's so dark, I can't even see your eyes.
I'm
like,
just like, am I defensive line coach?
Yeah,
oh my God.
You do. With and those headset on? You
I'm
really
coach
do.
Pierce.
You really do look like a. Yeah. You do look like a defensive coordinator right now, bro.
I look like a defensive line coach. My name might be Ruffin. Or it's like Hankins or some shit. I probably coach at East Carolina.
Yeah, man. So pretty much a bunch of coaches got hired.
I said that.
Bunch of coaches got hired across the NFL. We got Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury, who, by the way, benched Baker Mayfield and ran him out of Texas Tech. Started Davis Webb over him. Ooh, sorry, shit. And indigestion. We're back. All right. So Davis Webb started. Yeah, at least hit the sound effects, bro. Come on. So. I'm afraid to look in the chat room. I just saw.
Hey, shout out to Wu. Shout out to Wu. He said we're roasting each other. He also said we're killing potential sponsors. I told you.
I mean, but this might just be our way to get sponsors, where we just we just start killing each other to open the show, and be like, you know what? Maybe we should get some wings and just really go to Sports Clips after all.
All right, other coaches who got hired: Adam Gase. Former Dolphins coach who literally just got fired, got hired by the Jets, which makes no damn sense considering they're in the same division.
It's like,
and what did Gase do besides beat the Patriots on a couple times, including a miracle, make the playoffs like when he had no business being there, and essentially run the Dolphins into a rebuild and
ruin all the Dolphins receivers
and Tannehill, but. I don't know. I guess Tannehill falls into that receiver category because he was a receiver.
For like, yeah, I remember his NCAA rating too.
Outside of that, man, who else? Oh, Bruce Arians.
Retread.
Bruce Arians is cool in the media. Bruce Arians seems like a cool guy. Like, I definitely kick it with him.
I'm smoking cigars.
Listen to him
talk.
I've been
going to Sports Clips with Bruce Arians.
He might actually give us some dirt. On some of the QBs he's coached. But
play harmonica, be some really soulful shit.
But really, why does this guy keep getting looks as a head coach? We're acting like he won a Super Bowl.
He's actually good, though. That's the thing. Like, in Arizona, he was just burnt out. You could tell. Because Arizona's in his own
Yeah, because
place.
He was like 9-7 three out of 4 years and didn't make the damn playoffs. I would be, too.
And they actually, like, built up a pretty great defense, and then, you know, ownership ruined all of it.
They did say, however, Bruce Arians hired Todd Bowles, former Jets coach, which you don't like because you don't think they should be running a 3-4.
But then he said in his press conference, you know, we'll run what's best for the players. So you're going to run nickel like you did in Arizona.
Well, Bowles was a defensive coordinator under Arians in Arizona, correct?
Yeah, but they ran a 3-4.
When they were actually like dominant?
Good ran a 3-4. Had Marcus Golden have like 12 and a half sacks.
Pretty much.
He's done nothing since.
McCoy's probably out of there finally.
All I know is it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Miko Grimes and Brent Grimes.
Nobody cares about either of the Grimes.
You won't say that to her face. She'll beat the shit out of you. She's from L.A. You know that, right? She's from the hood. She's from the set. OG okay. Miko. Don't get it twisted. I don't want no smoke with that woman. But I would, if she smoked me out, that'd be an honor. That'd be on my bucket list. But anyway, don't look at me like that. Anyway, when it comes down to all these coaching hires, man, Zach Taylor, who was a pedestrian quarterback at Nebraska, and I'm being really polite when I say pedestrian, go look up his numbers on Pro Football Reference or whatever. You go look up stats. But go look up his numbers at Nebraska. He became a graduate intern, QB coach, offensive coordinator, the whole nine, blase, blase, blase. Ended up a QB coach for the Rams, Zach Taylor. And now he's going to be the Bengals' new head coach. So I guess Hugh Jackson's just gone. And, like, it's crazy because all the head coaches that have been hired have been white. Who white?
Coach is so white.
Who white? Yeah, that's a lot. That's a whole lot of white. That's a lot of mayonnaise to deal with. But yeah, all of them have been white.
Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur is the Packers head coach.
Which
Aaron Rodgers got a call from him. So
which is stupid because LaFleur has only been an offensive play caller one season. He's for the Titans, which.
And yeah, they were maligned, but it's not
maligned.
Like they were.
And they barely made the playoffs, and Mariota didn't get any better. And
Corey Davis
almost
didn't go over
died.
1,000 yards. I don't think he did. He should have, but he didn't. Derrick Henry, they finally decided to give him the ball. But guess what? Aaron Jones is probably rushing for 1,000 yards.
But
Aaron Rodgers,
what LaFleur did do was he coached 1 year as an offensive coordinator, yes, man, in the booth for your Los Angeles Rams.
I feel like he played quarterback at Louisville.
I think he did, too.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because I can almost tell all these QBs.
Was he might have been with the Packers, actually. No, I think about it.
He probably played for them, but I know Matt LaFleur definitely – probably, almost definitely, I'm certain, played at Louisville. A lot of these, I'm surprised Chris Redman doesn't have a job somewhere. He probably does. But a lot of these old-ass Louisville QBs somehow are getting jobs. Where's Brian Brohm? That's what I want to know. He'll probably be next. But it's like all these cats who come from college. And here's the thing. What people don't realize is high school has these unique offenses that exploits the athleticism of players to their maximum potential. That's why you see cats rush for like 6,000 yards in a season or whatever. Because, or you see like QBs throw for gaudy numbers in a season, like 100 touchdowns in the season, 7,000 yards. Like all five of their receivers go over 1,000 yards. Some of them aren't even good. It's just because it's a high volume thing. Those coaches are getting maybe a couple shots in college, but mostly what the NFL does and what college does is rather than give some of those coaches who are great minds usually, they steal those concepts and then incorporate them into college and pro schemes. And that's what you're seeing. They're taking all from really the high school levels in terms of just simple, basic passing offense, passing coordinations, and they're saying, okay, we're going to spread the ball out, and then they're going to pretend like they didn't like it, the same way they pretended like they didn't like the Wildcat, but yet they praised Tim Tebow and sucked his nuts every 5 seconds. Like, the NFL is like, okay, we're going to fully just go all in on the college spread scheme, which is damn near perfected in high school with all the production, and then pretty much said, okay, how can we make this concept, which is kind of gimmicky, on a notebook filled with just routes and combinations. How can we actually make that sense in the pro level and translate? That's why for a long time, like let's say a school like Baylor, they had receivers put up gaudy numbers, but they couldn't actually run a full route tree. But, you know, you can get away with that in college. Whoa, you just turned me off. Was that a laugh?
Yeah, it was.
By the way, Matt Rhule didn't accept a head coaching job with the Jets because they wouldn't let him pick his own assistant, so he stayed at Baylor. And it should be good. He should stay at Baylor because he's turning around the culture there, and it's not as toxic as it used to be, even though it's still pretty toxic. And a bunch of athletes got thrown under the bus when the nasty-ass administrators walked away scot-free. But we're going to talk about abuse later in the show, or maybe we won't. I don't know. But when
we also got to talk about Fangio going to the Broncos, defensive coach on a defensive team
that's more
that
posturing.
Desperately needs a quarterback and hasn't had a quarterback, and they're probably going to reach for one this year when they should have took one last year. And guess what? It's probably going to be a colossal bust the size of Paxton Lynch once again.
Nah, I'm taking Bradley Chubb. Had they taken Lamar Jackson, that would have been crazy.
No, but what I'm saying is, I'm not knocking the Bradley Chubb pick so much as I'm saying, like, they're in the same scenario again, and it's like they don't really have a plan, and now they're going with a defensive coach again after they already went with the defensive coach, and it didn't work.
But here's
so
the thing.
They're pretty much going against the trend that you're talking about in terms of getting a QB handler – to be the
babysitter.
Overseer of your franchise.
Here's what they're doing. They're placating to, that's why I like, and we'll get into the racial elements of this in a minute, but they're placating defensive coaches like Greg Williams didn't get the job in Cleveland. Freddie Kitchens got the job. Mostly because he's comfortable with Baker Mayfield.
I mean, there's he's, also...
No, he. That's why he got
there's
the job.
Also his whole backstory.
I'm not shooting Greg Williams any bail, but he might end up the defensive coordinator in Arizona. Why? Young coordinator. They need to restructure a really good defense.
So pretty much the Sean McVay formula.
No, they're placating to defensive coaches. We're like, we really don't want to give you the job. You're only the head coach in that you can, you're a defensive coordinator, so you can actually get people on the right page, and you'll just have an offensive coordinator, and you'll leave it alone in his hands. You don't really meddle in our offense, but we want you to give us a great defense. But we really don't want you as a head coach. They treat defensive coaches as placeholders, and I think that's really crappy.
I think that's part of it for sure, but I also
Wilkes was a defensive guy.
I also think you got to think about it like on a really low scale level and just kind of like the basic concept of offense and defense. It's like the offensive coordinators are like really flashy dudes who are like charismatic and like can sell anyone on anything, and they're rah-rah and – versus the defensive coaches are the dudes who paid their dues, their X's and O's minds. They'll talk about football for hours and experiences and stuff like that, but they're not necessarily going to jump out in a press conference or in an interview. And, of course, there's some racial undertones to why both of those biases exist, but it's also just kind of the nature of both offense and defense. What?
No, I was just trying to make sure the sound was good. But anyway... When it comes down to what you said, and defensively, it's really like, I think of Rex Ryan. I think of a guy like Rex Ryan, because he failed. That kills it for a lot of defensive coaches. And I think about Steve Wilkes, Todd Bowles. I think of situations where there wasn't
Vance
a quarter.
Joseph.
Huh?
Vance Joseph.
Yeah. Those cats, and again, we'll get to the racial aspects of that later, but those cats, and this is where the league and players' safety and defense is getting penalized for everything comes into play. The league is showing you, and the officiating is showing you, that it's geared towards the offense. So why would you get a defensive-minded head coach? Yeah, he can stop your offense, but if your offense is just going to stall out, you just have – you're Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's a cautionary tale. It's like Doug Peterson, look what he's doing with Nick Foles. Doug Peterson was a lifetime backup QB. Under the Andy Reid tree, Eric Bieniemy, who, again, should really get – head coaching consideration. I think he would have been perfect for the Packers, to be honest. But you want to just jump right into the racial aspects of it? Because we pretty much covered, like, the baseline for why
you can
the
go
league,
for it.
The
you
league
go,
is
go for it.
Cool. Because the league has already shifted into saying we want more offense, even at the detriment of good defense. Shout out to the Panthers not re-signing Thomas Davis. Moment of silence. All right, so the racial aspects of that, like 70% of the league is black, right? But like less than, I think like 26% of the coaches and like front office people are black or just non-white. There's no owners, no black owners, obviously. There's a couple black coordinators around the league, a handful. Mostly black coaches have to go be defensive coordinators, hence, and shout out to your joke earlier in the show about me looking like a black defensive line coach, because I do, limp and everything. Damn. I'm going to have to become a high school football coach, aren't I? God damn it. By the way, shout out to Coach Travis Clark.
You could even be that. You could even be that defensive line coach, that running back coach who was actually a defensive line coach
and tight end
But is helping out the running backs and tight ends.
An offensive line coach.
Yeah.
But like.
Nah, not offensive line. You look like a running back and tight end. Yeah.
Even though I was an offensive lineman and defensive lineman, and I played. Never mind. But anyway,
I just see you standing by the ladders, going knees up, knees up, knees up,
having the little flippers, the red flippers.
Yeah. I could see you doing that, bro.
Like, okay, we're not gonna hit, but put on the red flippers. All right, now don't hit the babies, the freshmen and sophomores. Don't go too hard. Just hit him with a little flipper. That one asshole in practice has to clothesline a kid and break his arm. By the way, we actually had a dude do that. He hit a guy, he fell, and broke his arm on the track. Never played football again. But anyway, when it comes to black coaches, they usually have to end up doing something like what you said. They may get a wide receiver coach, a running back coach, but never a QB coach. Maybe an offensive line coach, but that's rare. That rarely happens. They'll just put you on defensive line or special teams, maybe. You can coach the DBs all day. You can coach the linebackers all day. You can be a quality control coach, all that. You can be a coaching intern.
To bring it back, I think
they won't make you an offensive line
coach. To bring it back, I think the thing that you're getting to, the thing that you're saying is like,
they don't let you near the valuable positions.
Besides all that, but like, how can you get promoted when the people promoting you aren't from the places you're from? They don't They don't have the same culture as you. Like, you're not going to share the same kind of small talk. Like, there's a reason why they're not selling you and you're not being chum and like,
it's not even that.
Like, it is though, because that's across all industries. That's why diversity is an issue across the board.
Okay, first off, like I've said before, diversity is a box of sharpened crayons. And all the crayons that are colored are dull as hell, but the white crayon is mad sharp. That's a diversity issue. I have it backwards. A box of crayons is diverse, but a box of crayons where all the crayons except one crayon are all dull and that one crayon is mad sharp, that's an equity issue. That's treating everybody equitably and fairly. And everybody says a fair is where pigs are judged. And Stephen A. Smith said that, but it's like there's a right way to treat people and a wrong way to treat people. And Herm Edwards is one of the few guys, even though he was an overrated head coach, he was one of the last dudes in that era, him, Lovey Smith, who actually were considered again for head coaching jobs. Herm Edwards was obviously good with the media, so that helps. Lovey Smith was a great defensive mind. I mean, he got stuck with Rex Grossman as his quarterback. That's unfortunate. I look to the college level again. Yeah, Dino Babers had they won 10 games or 11 games in Syracuse for the first time in years. Set a bunch of records. Turned that program around. Syracuse used to be a laughingstock. Remember when Doug Marrone was their head coach and then he left them to be, the Jaguars head coach? Remember how that turned out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how Doug Marrone just mediocred his way into a job. Oh, wait, because he's white. Because in no other realm of sanity, if I just took the aspect of, okay, this person's connected to this person because of coaching tree, like you said, connections, relationships, familiarity. When you break that down and say, okay, is this dude right for the job? Okay, Rooney Rule, we'll throw you an interview because you have to interview somebody non-white.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is like, okay, like we're talking about how these coaches are being hired to be babysitters and handlers and essentially save QBs. But it's also like that's also the root of the issue, too, because like the QBs are white. So it's like.
And most of them are trash.
Who are they going to hit it off with? This other white dude who reminds them of their older cousin. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's really simple. Like, we try to make it really complicated, but it's really simple. Humans are really simple beings.
They're terrible.
And football is a reflector of that.
A microcosm of what? Yeah, exactly. It's a microcosm of my life. Like, Eric Bieniemy, I don't think he calls plays, but he did set up their offense. Like, I think Andy Reid is the one who calls the plays in Kansas City. But the fact that he helped fix Patrick Mahomes' flaws and made him an elite quarterback, Cliff Kingsbury just had Mahomes throw for a lot of yards at Texas Tech. And they weren't good. And when they were good and he won like 8 games, you know what Cliff Kingsbury did? He won with Tommy Tuberville's players. It goes back to the theme. White coaches can win with somebody else's players and then be the head coach for a team that sucks for like 5 years. But a black head coach who finally gets a job gets fired after 1 year or 2 years or 3 years with a QB he never picked, with injuries he never foresaw, with ownership that didn't want to pay the best player.
Well, guess what?
There's no it looks like of the doubt there for
so him. If you want to look at it that way, guess all these white coaches are getting karma because none of them are really in great positions except for what? Maybe LaFleur?
They're all getting reach. Yeah, but LaFleur is only the head coach for offensive purposes, not can he overall lead a team of men. He's barely older than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, man.
Like, Mike McCarthy wanted the Jets jobs, didn't get it, taking the year off. Fine.
Yeah, I can't even believe I felt sympathetic for Mike McCarthy for 0.30 seconds.
I mean, he gets to spend time with his family. Good for him. But Arians felt like he always wanted to get back to coaching. And like you said, he had his staff together very quickly. So when you factor that in, it's like, okay, this dude's ready to jump back in. The NFL's not calling for Lovie Smith after, by the way, he was getting ready to turn that Tampa Bay team around, put people in place, and then they fire him and bring in Dirk Cutter. And what did Dirk Cutter do? Be terrible for like 3 years. But no one just says that. Dirk Cutter's already the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. It happened that fast. He got a job that fast. Lovie Smith is down at Illinois. He's kind of rebuilding their program. But the man couldn't even get another NFL job. And he got, and the last NFL job he had, he got hosed out of it by a dude, which, by the way, go look at Dirk Cutter's career at Arizona State. Wasn't that impressive. He had like 1 or 2 good years with Rudy Carpenter.
All right, man. So can we move on? Anything else you want to say on the topic of head coaching hires? Really quick.
Just remember these 2 takeaways. The racial issue is a huge aspect because, like I said, there's not that many GMs, not many front office people at all. Coordinators don't get a chance to either run the offensive line or be near the quarterback as to reasons of why Pete said, reasons to what I said. And most importantly, the league is pretty much trying to they're pretty much forcing defense out of the league. Like with how they officiate, how they find guys, how all these so-called QB whisperers and QB fixers do things, and then the offensive end up bland anyway. That's pretty much the way it's going. Whether you're in college, they're reaching. The NFL is reaching horribly. Like Dino Babers is going to be a hot name, even though he got an extension to stay at Syracuse for a while. He'll be a hot name. I think he should have got some head coach consideration, seeing how he's more successful at Syracuse than Cliff Kingsbury was at Texas Tech. But it is what it is.
Yeah, man. On that note, speaking of yes, man, the Oakland Raiders' new GM, Mike Mayock, former NFL analyst, who's essentially been called a made man now, is also essentially a yes man. This week, Mayock said, he said basically him and John Gruden are going to have a lot of arguments about personnel decisions, and there's going to be a lot of back and forth, but at the end of the day, Gruden's going to have a final say. And that's a lot, bro, because, yeah, Gruden has the long-term contract, but essentially the front office is supposed to be in charge of the head coach because the front office oversees kind of everything and how the scouting and the coaching and the operations, how all those things kind of coincide versus the head coach is really just responsible for the on-field product.
Has Mayock ever been a GM before?
No, he hasn't.
Has he ever had any front office experience before?
He's been in scouting departments.
But I mean outside of scouting, like human resources, anything like that, managerial.
I mean, you mean the administration?
The administrative side. Has he any experience doing that?
I doubt it. I don't think so. I don't know.
So a guy, and then by the way, they hired Ryan Grigson to come in to help him do his job too.
So that's going to be the dude with the administrative experience too.
Who kind of failed with the Colts. You could say he kind of failed with the Colts. So Ryan Grigson is going to, I guess, usher in and help that side out. And really, Mayaka is just there for draft evaluation. And honestly, he's probably Gruden's go-to yes man, if we're just being honest.
I think it's bad because, one, you got another Gruden enabler. Two, as we've already talked about, you got that whole media cliche thing. But ultimately, this is where I think the problem is you got two guys who've been looking at football from what you could conceive as an objective perspective, meaning they don't really have any skin in the game, and now they have skin in the game, and it's like, okay, what is your identity going to be? Because we know what Gruden's identity was in the 2000s, but honestly, it's not really fair to say we even really knew what that was because, one, I mean, in Oakland, he had Al Davis, and then in Tampa Bay, he had Dungy's team, and then he had a mediocre team. So,
and their brain trust.
The point is,
Glazer family.
The point is, I trust Mayock in terms of breaking down a scout from an objective perspective, but now he's got to take that and actually embed it and help them execute and help them develop. We're not just talking about like, oh, I'm creating content, I'm trying to make predictions, I'm trying to, like, you know, share insights on this player. Now you're trying to do that and see the bigger picture of where is this guy going to be in 5 years. It's not just...
And how we're going to pay him.
Exactly. It's not just, oh, I'm gonna break him down 1 year and then go back to it when I cover his game once a year. It's like, okay, like you're investing your professional reputation in these players. And so the fact that Gruden doesn't have an identity, Gruden's not going to know what he wants. I don't know if Mayock is going to be able to give him that. And so I expect the Raiders draft strategy to be just kind of all over the place, honestly. And honestly, I don't think it could get any worse than last year, so whatever.
It could. I mean, the Deadskins already lost. What's his face? The guy who ruined the Raiders Super Bowl.
Wu said, "Shout out to the Raiders for letting the Seahawks sign Seabass
and Amari Cooper."
Well, because you know Seabass got hurt in the playoffs.
Pulled a hamstring.
Yep.
His fat finally won out.
Which, by the way, we got to get to. We didn't even get to the playoff stuff.
We will, but in the time being. I look at a guy like Mike Mayock, and I look at how they're spinning it, and teams do. Like, man, team, like between the Steelers and the Raiders, the PR is amazing. Like, they are spinning it in a way, and they could say it's not spin, but you're manipulating the argument to suit you as you go. That's a form of agenda setting. That's a form of manipulation, and that's a form of spinning. So, yeah. All in the name of PR, which is dirty to even hide behind that. Because PR isn't spin. Facts. Anyway. When it comes to them, it's like every move they make, they'll find a way to justify it. And it's like Gruden still has that same brashness that he had when he was younger. And it's kind of like, it feels like... The Emperor Has No Clothes, where they're hiding something. They're hiding some kind of malfeasance or some kind of just like, oh, let's just pretend there's no hole in the Death Star over there. Shout out to Mancini. Yeah. Happy New Year. Let's just pretend like, you know, there's not a huge hole in the Death Star that if they hit it at this angle, it would blow up and kill everybody. Let's just not pretend like this is in a hall one, a charade, or we're not, you know, just trying really hard to kind of, you know, overcompensate for whatever we're lacking. That's what it feels like in Oakland. Because you can't tell me with everything they've blown up, with the decisions they've made, do you see Derek Carr here? Do you see Derek Carr as like, okay, like with how they ran that offense, with how good his completion percentage numbers were, but technically how bad he kind of played. But if you can leverage that and use it as trade bait, you can't tell me they can't get a Jalen Ramsey or a Leonard Fournette.
That's what I'm saying, though, is this regime is so far off the radar that I couldn't even really tell you what they're going to do because I don't know what brand of football they really want to play.
Some Palpatine type stuff.
Because, like, even with Derek Carr, he went under – they've been trying to make him go under shotgun. Like, every year they've been trying to make him go under shotgun, but that's not really his style. He's a 6'1 QB who's 6'2. Somewhat – gun shy, like he plays his best game out of the shotgun.
He plays his best game pitching and catching.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you get at Fresno State?
Plays his best game playing 7-on-7, but Ouch. Being able to scramble.
Yeah, but it's like the issue there, and it goes back to the whole viewpoint of a lot of these teams. And remember, it used to be about getting a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Now it's about
getting a good enough quarterback. It's about getting a good enough quarterback
to execute your basic system
when they're young, so that you can build out the roster around them,
and then
pay your players around them.
Pay them proportionate to what they've done. That way, they don't complain about more money later. And if you have to get rid of them, because like this last crop of quarterbacks like Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger. Once these guys go, it's a whole new era. And that's what we're seeing. You're going to get QBs to fit an offense, to fit a system, instead of finding the right guy who's just the right guy. That's why I think Haskins out of Ohio State is the perfect player for the Giants. Transition Eli out. Bring a guy like him in. He's already proven he can make every throw, do everything at the college level. And he did it at Ohio State. So there's no excuses like, oh, he ran a spread. Ryan Day, they ran kind of a spread, but it was a passing spread, like a pro spread. Whereas in the past at Ohio State, all the quarterbacks were just running a spread. He's not JT Barrett. He's not Troy Smith. He's much better than all those guys. So when it comes to this whole issue of scouting, it really is just an offensive. Everything is becoming offensive minded and based. Where are you getting pass rushers for? Well, to stop quarterbacks. Corners are becoming more of a premium now, where you got a guy like Greedy Williams who might be a top five pick.
Yeah.
D tackles, they're noticing, okay, these defensive tackles, if we use them right, can do big things. Like in Seattle,
there's going to be so many defensive tackles in the first round this next year.
There's a lot of D tackles who could end up getting 10.5 sacks, but you don't say they're one of the best defensive linemen in football. And that's crazy when you think about it.
You know what's really crazy? How wrong you were about Puna Ford.
Did you really?
You thought I was going to let that one go, huh?
I was wrong about one Texas defensive tackle. Ooh, I can tell you were so wrong about Antoine Woods.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly. USC nose tackle. Cowboys nose tackle. Got cut by the Titans. Plays for the Cowboys.
So I wouldn't say I was wrong. I just was sleeping.
No, you said USC was trash. When they were losing to UCLA, you said they were trash. Another player's going to get drafted. And he didn't get drafted, but he ended up being a really good player. So you're wrong.
So I wasn't wrong. I just was not fully correct.
Name the last good UCLA D tackle.
Eddie Vanderdoes.
Andy Vander doesn't.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, man. Next up.
Gross. Just gross.
Leonard Fournette. He met with Tom Coughlin and some of the other Jaguar leaders in the locker room.
Trust.
And pretty much.
Quotes.
They wanted to clear the air. Quotes again.
Air quotes.
And continue the relationship moving forward. Now, when there's smoke, is there fire or is the fire out?
Or is it just vape?
Yeah. You tell me, KB.
I think they want to make sure things are good. because they're either going to move Fournette or they're going to move Bortles.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not going to move. I'm pretty sure they're not going to not move Bortles.
Because if you can get a 2-for-1, why not do it? If you can move Fournette, get draft capital, and there's running backs in this draft class, go running by committee, get the franchise QB.
Is there a Fournette in this running back class, though?
Doesn't have to be. Yeah, a couple. Production-wise, there's not a Fournette individually, but they're like Travion Williams out of Texas A&M. Great young prospect. He can make some moves. He can do some things. You can get a guy like him, and you can get the Memphis running back.
But we've seen
it's running back by committee.
We've seen the Jaguars try the running back by committee when Fournette was out for 8 years.
True.
I mean 8 games, sorry.
Yeldon was pretty good, but the offense was so terrible and bad that guys just quit. But Yeldon has been there for a while and been pretty good. Fournette has been there and he's pretty good. But the way they use Fournette is what matters.
Honestly.
Look at Tennessee. Perfect example. They kept trying to force Deion Lewis on everybody. And then they finally give Derrick Henry the ball and say, do what you're actually naturally meant to do in your role. And I think he ended up rushing for 1,000 yards.
Ultimately, I don't think there's a hotter first 5 games than the Jaguars. Because honestly, between Marone, whoever they have at quarterback, Fournette, their defense, like everyone's going to be looking. If they start out 1-4, like it's good. The season's going to fall out completely.
They got to get a quarterback.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You can move Fournette, end it on a good note. Because Coughlin, remember how him and Tiki Barber ended?
Yeah.
So he's not really a big fan of star running backs like that. He probably sees Fournette as just a better Brandon Jacobs.
Ugh.
Yeah, it hurts, but it might
be
true.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
It hurts, but it might be true.
A better Reuben Jones?
I'll fight you. Reuben Jones is a fullback, dog. Out of Oregon.
Nah, he was a running back for like one season.
He was a fullback.
He was like a running back for one season, yeah.
He was a fullback who became a running back. Don't question my NCAA knowledge. Bro, he was a
fullback. Wait.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like you look at a situation like Jacksonville where it's just a toxic environment. They could be trying to move cats and just start over.
Yeah, man. All right.
Malik Jackson already said he's probably not going to be there. They're going to cut him in the offseason.
All right. So let's get to the shit everyone else is talking about in the sports media world because, you know.
That racist-ass white girl who got fired off SB Nation in The Athletic?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Fam, it was lighting up the group chat. You didn't see any of it?
No, I haven't caught up on the group chat. I've been in Vegas working/playing/dying. And you
that's
almost
usually what happens in Vegas.
And you almost just dry snitched on me. I saw.
How did I dry snitch on you?
I saw your mouth quiver. You were about to be like, ah. And then you were like, oh, no, we're on the air.
I was like, you're going to say whatever you say in your rant. That has nothing to do with me, sir. Don't put that on me. Everybody wants to be like, my mom, she'd be like.
How defensive line coach of you?
My mom literally told me.
Sell out your D coordinator who got fired and be like, I'm still good, though, right, coachy?
Like, the linebacker coach is trash. My defensive line set records.
Yeah.
All I know is, though, like, my mom straight up told me, she's like, you know what? I know why God gave me to you. And I know why he didn't give me any more sons. You're too damn much.
Oh,
shout out
shit,
to you, mom.
That's funny.
Damn! She was like, nah, like, chill. Like, I'd have to kill you. Like, there couldn't be two of you. And I was a twin.
Plus, she couldn't afford to feed both of you.
Wow. Did you just assume my mother was a poor, struggling, single mother?
No.
Fuck you. No.
Don't put this on me. Don't put this on your mom.
Too bad I am.
I put it on you eating too damn much, big boy.
Stop. You're going to get sued if you do that. For the record, you're fat, too.
I am.
Stop body shaming.
You really are sensitive this year. What is going on with you?
Bitch.
What is going on with you? What was that Asian dude that was on Power 106 back in the day?
I don't even...
Miki Fiki?
We're not going to talk about that. Dude, most of Power 106 is Asian and Latino. Yeah, they're on-air talent.
Not before.
Right now.
Right now. I don't even.
All the black people.
Oh yeah,
left.
Yeah. No, I don't even listen to Power 106. Does anyone listen to Power 106 anymore?
You should go back and see the Twitter war that Abby Weiss, who used to work at LA Weekly, he went in on one of the. I'm not even going to give Power 106 any more of my time, but yeah, he went in.
But yeah, man, what I wanted to talk about was what everyone else is talking about. NFL playoffs.
Shampoo?
The NFL playoffs happened this past weekend.
See, this is why I need to be on the boards, because I actually appreciate sarcastic moments. And even if I'm the one getting burned, I still use proper sound effects. Pete's over here being you're worse than a substitute PE teacher, Pete. That was the wrong sound effect, too. You're worse than a Jamaican DJ who went to the bathroom when his cousin took over. Okay, now first off, I just want to say...
I'm fucking around too much.
Honestly, this is going to play back, and then the Get Right is going to come up here, and they're all going to fuck you up for stealing your sound effects. Eric, Chris, it wasn't me. Kelvin, it wasn't me. It was all Pete's fault.
All right, man. NFL playoffs, we were dead ass wrong.
Ooh,
in a lot of ways.
I was wrong twice. I was wrong for the whole AFC.
Well, let's see. We both picked the Chargers.
But Lamar Jackson put some respect on his name and, you know, fought back.
Honestly, man, fuck everyone who was saying they should go to Flacco. I mean, I get it.
Flacco was terrible.
I get it.
Playoff start.
I get it, but at the same time, you can't ruin Lamar Jackson's confidence like that. He got you there. You ride and die with him. And honestly,
quarterbacks matter.
He cost them the game.
No, he didn't.
But that's fine because he won them a lot of games.
Guy missed his block and let Uchenna Nwosu strip sack him cost them the game.
Come on, bro.
Bro, their offense is bad.
Bro, even if you give up that sack, you'll be hot. He fumbled.
First off, how he fumbled. He hit the perfect pressure point on the ball. He knocked it from up under his hand.
That's just because you're a Chenna Nwosu stan, first of all. You've been standing for him for about 5 years.
I remember his Narbonne days.
You thought I was going to say two, and you're going to be like, no, like five. And then when I said five, you're like, oh, shit.
He knows I know that he was an All-American. 9.5 sacks, arguably 10, but, you know, hey. Raiders passed on him.
Raiders passed on him.
Hashtag, that's the hashtag I created. Raiders passed on him. DeAndre Hopkins, Raiders passed on him.
So we were wrong about the Raiders. We were wrong about the Seahawks.
Wrong about...
I mean, the Chargers. Wrong about the Chargers. Wrong about the Seahawks.
What was the other NFC game?
Damn, I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm so tired.
Because Dallas is playing LA. The Saints are playing Philly. Oh, yeah, I thought... Oh!
Oh, no, I picked Philly. You picked Chicago.
I picked Chicago, but yeah, honestly, I deserve Philly. A mulligan because who would have known that Trayvon Hester, a former Raider, they let him go. Hashtag they let him go.
Hashtag they let him go.
His hand actually partially blocked and changed the trajectory of that kick from Cody Parkey. But once I saw
Cody
Parkey.
But you picked
Parkey,
the Colts. I picked
Houston, but Houston got.
I thought you picked the Colts because I picked Houston.
I don't know. I might have picked Houston. I might have just hedged my bet. I don't know. But honestly, in my heart, I thought Houston was going to win. I'm not even going to front. I really thought Houston was going to pull it off. But they better draft tackles with their first two picks.
They're probably going to have
tackle,
to draft
right tackle.
They're probably going to have to draft the pass rusher because Jadeveon Clowney's probably going to leave.
Right tackle, Deshaun Watson's your future.
I'm calling that defense.
That defense can't stop anybody.
Clowney's out.
J.J. Watt's overrated. He just proved it. All those sacks, but you couldn't get to the QB against the Colts offensive line. Brandon Smith was a guard in college and playing tackle. Shout out to the Colts for rebuilding. And by the way, at right tackle, he held it down. Brandon Smith, not Auburn. And he was a guard playing tackle. And J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless. None of those guys are not even to get to him. And we talk about how trash the corners and DBs are outside of Tyrann Mathieu and Justin Reed. Those corners are terrible for Houston. Kareem Jackson really should just move to strong safety full time. I always knew when he was coming out of Oklahoma.
Kareem
Alabama,
Jackson was a Pro Bowler
this
year.
Bro.
He was an all pro.
He was not. He was an All-Pro.
No, I don't know. I was just
maybe, maybe a Pro Bowler, but he was not an All-Pro. Get out of here.
He balled.
He played. He can play, but he shouldn't be playing cornerback. I'd have him as a full-time safety.
So, what was the best game of the weekend for you?
I mean,
I feel like it's between the NFC games for sure because the Chargers game wasn't that close.
Dallas and Seattle, because I think whoever won that game was going to be red hot going into the playoffs.
Yeah, that makes
imagine
sense.
The Cowboys getting to the NFC title game.
Honestly, I would first like off, the Cowboys team if they wore any other uniform and played in any other stadium and had any other owner. Like
and
take
any
out
other
those
fan base.
Yeah, take out those
I
four
hate
variables.
Cowboys fans. You're terrible people.
Yeah, you too. Woo.
See, Woo, I want to give you a pass, but you like UCLA too.
FBS3, dude. Nah, I'm just kidding. Nah, but for
you don't
real,
want
man.
That smoke with a down south Cowboys fan, they'll fuck you up.
Nah, for real though. For real though, man. Like, if the Cowboys were any other team, I would probably pick them.
They're
because
not
America's they have
team because I didn't get a vote. Yeah, because
they have the running back, the QB. Not well, QB's
the
questionable. The running back, the line, receiver. Their defense is actually playing a lot better. So,
Wade Phillips deserves some assistant head coach, some assistant coach of the year love, because man, if you look at that defense, they're kind of trash.
The Rams?
Yes.
Because they can't stop the run.
Like,
they cannot stop the run.
If they just ran a 4-3 defense, bro, imagine if they just ran a 4-3 defense. Brockers, Donald, two edge rushers, which they don't have. Littleton is a great find at linebacker after going from safety in college to linebacker to I think he could be a middle linebacker full-time in a 4-3 just for coverage, just for the sake of coverage. And coming down, he's proven he can play against the run, kind of.
So who do you like in the Rams-Cowboys?
Mark Barron is Mark Barron's not cutting it anymore.
Who do you like it?
I got to go Rams still.
I got to go Rams too, but honestly.
Gurley on any of those linebackers, it's over. Jalen Smith, before he got injured, could cover Todd Gurley. Not now.
I don't know. Jalen Smith has looked a lot more explosive and fast and agile this season than last year.
Yeah, but he.
Like that pick six he had.
Before the injury.
And they have Vander Esch, one of your draft crushes from last year.
Boise State linebackers don't fail except Shea McClellan. But even then, had he gone to Green Bay over Chicago, he'd have been great.
And Correa?
He could find a role. Baltimore, he just wasn't a full-time edge rusher, so they were going to use him. But he can play. He can play in this league. Correa could be an outside linebacker. I think if they actually committed to him being a defensive end, he could do it. But they're not going to do it, so he'll probably just have to be an outside linebacker.
Again, man, I think for the Cowboys, what they do have in their advantage is Amari Cooper knows both of those corners. He played them
he gets
twice
shut
a year
down
in the
by
AFC.
Them, he got shut down by them collectively.
Nah.
Lifetime matchups?
Nah.
Against Aqib?
Nah, he's eaten. They've gone blow for blow. They've
won more than he's won, though.
I don't know if that's fair to say, considering
Derek Carr,
considering Derek Carr, considering Michael Crabtree was low-key the number one receiver and really going against them. And yeah, Derek Carr locks in the receivers pre-snap. But they have that advantage there. He knows them, and they're honestly having down seasons.
Jackie, stop being disrespectful or call in one of the two. Raiders fans are great people. You are not going to just trash my hometown team like that, especially after what they went through on Christmas, the day before Christmas. I was there. I saw everybody getting together.
Shout out to Wu saying
the
he doesn't know.
The weed smoke. It was beautiful in the pouring rain.
Shout out to Wu. He's saying Gurley. No one knows how healthy Gurley really is. I feel you, but at the same time, even at 80%, he's still an elite running back. And he was supposed to come back like 2 weeks ago, so I'm sure he's well rested. I saw a video of him in practice. He looked fine.
Is Zeke super healthy?
Yeah, because that dude has miles on him. But again, the Cowboys, their key is going to be giving the ball to Zeke. Hopefully he doesn't run out of gas.
No big plays on all. Like, if Brandon Cooks get loose on the secondary, y'all gonna have problems. And Robert Woods for sure gonna get another,
especially in the Coliseum, yeah, because things are gonna get wild, rocking in there. And we know how inconsistent.
Look how much I'm scrapping young DBs.
We know how inconsistent Dak can be, so he. It might be a lot if they.
The tight ends might have a big game this game.
If the Cowboys get a big disadvantage early, it might get ugly.
If they get a 14-point lead on the Rams, I think the Rams are done.
But on that same token, I mean, if Lawrence, if Gregory, if those guys can create some sort of turnover on Goff, a strip sack or something like that, I could also see the game getting out of hand for the Rams because, as I've said on this show many times,
he's not going to throw you.
As I've said on this show many times, Rams have yet to beat a team and like really battle through adversity.
That Falcons game was telling.
Like,
Jackie, I want to know, what did a Raiders fan do to you in your life? I need to know. Like, in a past life, what did a Raiders fan do to you? On behalf of Raiders fans, I apologize.
All right, next matchup. So, we're both taking the Rams there, for the record. Hopefully, we can remember next week. Next matchup, we got the
CTA, his hat's too tight.
The Chargers and the Patriots.
Don't make me choose. Don't make me.
In case you didn't know, Philip Rivers is 0-7 versus Tom Brady. He's never beaten a team led by Tom Brady.
Owned,
including that last.
Philip Rivers next kid that, named Tom.
Including that last divisional round where the Chargers were a Super Bowl team and the wheels fell out.
Martin Schottenheimer got wrongly fired at 14-2 because the ownership didn't like him. And then Marlon McCree's dumbass.
Did you really just defend Marty Schottenheimer?
Yes, I did. He was 14-2. He didn't deserve to be fired. They blackballed him out of the league. I don't care what anyone says. They blackballed Marty Schottenheimer out of the league.
You really defending Marty Schottenheimer?
That was the one time I have respect for the Chargers.
You just liked using them on Madden because they were a cheat code, literally because Sean Merriman was on steroids.
No, they were a cheat code because Vincent Jackson caught everything, especially on PS2 Madden. Oh, dog. Antonio Gates?
Sean Phillips was good in that game.
Don't let me sign Jeremy Bluner free agency with 95 speed and just let him be my fifth receiver.
And they're old-ass middle linebackers.
First off, you're not going to disrespect Donnie Edwards and Steve Foley like that.
And after that?
I totally forgot the other guy's name.
Fletcher? Didn't they have Fletcher there?
They had Tekel.
No, they had Tekel Spikes.
At the end of his career.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They had old-ass linebackers.
Donnie Edwards was good. Donnie Edwards never made a Pro Bowl. Can you believe that? He got robbed. He got robbed versus Sue Cravens. Got robbed of being an All-American.
For his head.
Nah, he deserved an outright Pro Bowl selection. But, yeah, Marlon McCree's dumbass got stripped by Troy Brown. I think after he picked a pass off, that would have sealed the game. All he had to do was just go down.
Is this the year the Chargers can do it?
This would be the one year because Gronk looks like he's done, man. Gronk burnt out fast.
I think a former Patriots linebacker, Gerard Mayo, said it. He said basically this Chargers team is honestly the worst matchup the Patriots could have planned for.
They can go five wide and you can't stop them.
Because, yeah, that and also defensively, they have two great defensive ends that you.
Fast linebackers.
And the Patriots, everyone knows that. Everyone knows the formula to beating the Patriots is hitting Brady, making him uncomfortable.
Get him off his square.
And the offensive line has not been that great this year.
I mean,
and Brady really hasn't been that great this year.
Baker Mayfield has
wide receivers
year.
Have been inconsistent.
But they have a benefit because they were thinking they have about signing another kicker because Michael Bagley, who was like I think All American kicker for Miami, and is a rookie, and I think he completed like 90% of his kicks this year for the Chargers. The weather's kind of iffy. They don't want him kicking deep because he doesn't have the leg for it, and you don't want to mess with the psychology of a kicker already who has to do kickoffs and kick field goals. So think about signing another kicker, but then that takes away one of your special team spots, and Cordarrelle Patterson is the most dangerous man with the football in his hands on special teams. So they might just tell him to run it out anyway, and there you go.
That is a matchup that the Patriots are going to have to rely on. In terms of those jet sweeps, those giving Patterson, Dorsett the ball out of the backfield, really how you can neutralize the pass rushing speed that the Chargers have on the edge. I'm not saying it'll work because both those players are smart, athletic, and lengthy.
And can bump inside to D-tackle.
And are actually strong and physical.
And take away your run game.
But
the Chargers line,
that's the next factor there.
Against the Ravens, the Chargers just out-schemed them straight up. Like, they outplayed them and out-schemed them on defense. The Chargers.
And Derwin on Gronk.
Yeah, Derwin is a people eraser. Wherever you put Derwin James on
Gronk's
somebody.
Gronk's been erased a lot this year.
But, like, really, he might just, like, give him the Rocky punch that puts him down for good. Derwin James, like, they ran a – sometimes they were running, like, 3-4 DBs out there last week, the Chargers.
And of course, of course, of course,
of course. A horse
of course. Of course. You're not going to mention my boy Desmond King.
All-pro rookie, arguably. By the way, Tre'Davious White –
no, he's a second-year player.
Oh, never mind. Well, Tre'Davious White is
– and you said he should have been a safety.
He should be. He's a slot corner safety, but I prefer if he be a free safety. And he can return kicks, but he's a free safety.
Yeah, man, whatever.
He'd be an all-pro free safety.
Raiders passed on him.
Raiders passed on him. Raiders passed on a lot of Iowa players, like George Kittle. Said it, you know. But George Kittle
played the whole
make,
year with broken ribs.
And set the record for receiving yards for a tight end and led his team in receiving by a lot. But somehow wasn't named an all-pro. Travis Kelce was named an all-pro over him. Don't understand that if we're talking about who threw who to who passes to who. But, you know, hey, Travis Kelce's a good tight end, a great tight end, but Kittle was better this year. Arguably, I think he's a better blocking tight end, too.
The other argument I'll make against the Chargers is
Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers, as I say every week. But besides that, they won last week, but Phillip Rivers, it wasn't really a close game. Like, when it was close in the fourth quarter, the Chargers couldn't drive down and score. So that worries me a little bit, the fact that Phillip Rivers didn't have to get that monkey off his back in that first game.
But the Ravens defense does that to people. The Ravens defense makes you have your
no,
worst
no
day
doubt.
Possible.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. So are you willing to pick the Chargers?
I'm going to say Chargers over Patriots because someone needs to put an end to the Patriots and Nick Saban. And damn it, this is the year to do it.
You mean Bill
Belichick? No, I mean both of them.
Collectively in the same year?
Collectively in the same year. Dabo Sweeney should give the Chargers a pep talk. And then the Chargers should go and draft DeMarcus or Dexter Lawrence or Christian Wilkins out of Clemson this year. They should do that.
All right. And I think I'm going to take the Chargers too, honestly. Yeah, that's right. There's a world where the Chargers are going to be in the AFC Championship.
Against the Chiefs. So the AFC West is the best division in football. After
wow,
that.
So you're already tipping your hat already. So you like the Chiefs versus the Colts?
Nah, I'm going
You didn't
Colts.
Tell Mikhail that.
I'm going Colts. Like Mikhail said, 27-24 Chiefs. Nah, I'm just going to say the Colts are going to win. Because their defense is better and Andrew Luck is battle-tested. And Darius Leonard is a monster at linebacker. Travis Kelce gets all the yards he want. They'll find a way to schematically slow down Tyreek Hill. And if you can slow down Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce,
man.
I think both are going to shut their run game down.
Honestly,
Marlon Mack is going to be a shootout.
Nah, because here's why. The Chiefs literally have everything you need to destroy a cover two. They have a fast
receiver runs great routes.
Receivers who can take the top off the safeties. And they got
routes.
A tight end who is big, physical, has a good catch radius.
Fast.
Stretch the field and work that middle where all those linebackers are. So, honestly, I'm going to take the Chiefs, even though, like you said, I don't know, think either team will have a great running game. And it'll probably be like a 4-hour shootout of just each quarterback throwing like 60 passes.
T.Y. is hurt, but still. Ebron, no one can cover Ebron on that Chiefs defense.
Did you ever think you'd be saying that?
No. Thought it was going to be a washout for the Lions, but here we are. All pro with 12 touchdowns.
And now he's not leading the league in drops anymore.
Yep, leading the league in touchdowns for tight ends. Damn, that's, that might be like a an initiative. Touchdowns for tight ends. But anyway.
Wow.
Damn, I'm just a walking propaganda. I'm just giving out free slogans.
And then lastly, the matchup really probably of the weekend. Got the defending champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. The
Saints.
And your NFC Saints.
I'm going with the Saints. Because I don't think Foles gets this. I don't think the Eagles get this lucky twice. They should have lost to Chicago if it weren't for,
if it weren't for
that fluke of a block. Because if we're being honest, Parkey should have never kicked that first field goal. Once he kicked that first field goal and he made it, I was like, oh, shit, he's going to miss the next one.
What I do want to say on that, man, and I remember.
And that offense was mad conservative. That's why they lost that game.
I remember talking to somebody, a Bears fan, at the beginning of the season, and I told him.
Bears fans exist?
Yeah, I was at a bar, and he was telling me he's a Bears fan. I told him this was right when the Khalil Mack trade happened. I was all in my feelings. And dude was like, yeah, but we need a lot more. Like, we need Trubisky to develop. Like, we need help. And I was like, trust me, dude.
The ball enough.
Trust me. I've literally watched every single down with Khalil Mack's career. He can change the game at any given moment. He impacts every single play. And he's a culture catalyst. The way he works, the way he leads. He's a leader by example. And, like, he can get that team to the next level. Trust me. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. He's just a defensive end. His numbers weren't that great in Oakland. And I was like, bro, there's more to numbers. Trust me.
He does the job of three.
And sure enough, they made the playoffs. So it's like, Bears fans, I know you're upset and sad that you lost that game. But honestly, you're playing with the house's money at that point. Like, yeah. Yo, you guys were talking about you just want to see Trubisky develop. You were talking about you just wanted to see if one of your receivers would actually be decent. Like, fair.
And
so
the receivers were kind of trash. Tariq Cohen was your best offensive skill player.
Besides all that, what I'm saying is,
shout out to HBCU. Shout out to Malik.
What I'm saying is the Bears at that point, everything was bonus. So, yeah, they lost, and, yeah, it sucks. It's crushing.
They lost at 12-4. That's why it looked so bad. But it's kind of like,
that's the way the chips fell, man. You already got lucky getting Khalil Mack for basically a first and a second round pick.
Still.
Yeah, so.
Leonard Floyd didn't do enough. Leonard Floyd needs to develop now. Like, I know, like, he's athletic, he's fast, but, like, he needs to be going upfield and rushing the pass. There's no reason why Khalil Mack has 12 and a half sacks and you don't have, like, 15. Because, bro, they shouldn't be double teaming him and chipping him with the back every play. By the time he gets to the quarterback, he's exhausted. So what are you doing? It's the same thing with Oakland. Like, with Oakland, Bruce Irvin took advantage of the single one-on-one coverage that he was getting when Khalil Mack was getting double, triple teamed and getting held by the entire Chargers offensive line. Chicago needs to take that next step. And a good point was brought up. What if they made a trade?
For who?
They could trade. I think it was going to be Leonard Floyd and a first round pick to get the number one overall pick and then draft Josh Allen. It was something like that. I forget the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I'm cool.
But it was like, you know what? Chicago could actually make. No, Leonard Williams might get traded by the Jets. That was it.
Hmm.
They could trade Leonard Floyd and their first round pick and then the Raiders pick.
They don't have the first round pick.
The Raiders second round pick.
Yeah.
They could trade Leonard Floyd, a second round pick, for Leonard Williams. Because he might be leaving the Jets. If you're going to do that, imagine Leonard Williams at defensive end in a 3-4 and Khalil Mack behind him. And I honestly wanted Leonard Williams more than I wanted Amari Cooper. Yeah, I have some confessions to actually get off my chest. I honestly still think that the Raiders should have taken Leonard Williams over Amari Cooper. Because imagine if you had Leonard Williams at 3 technique. Oh, and Khalil Mack at defensive end. That solves a lot of your problems. I'm just saying.
Receivers. Whatever, come a dime, man. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Primetime defensive
fuck
lineman.
It. I don't want to talk about it, bro.
Okay, but shout out to.
Anyways, back to Eagles Saints. I got to go with the Saints just because they're playing at home. That dome is a huge advantage. And I think, like you said, that spark in Philly, I mean, I don't know if lightning strikes twice.
The Saints have one of the best offensive lines in football.
And the Eagles' corners aren't as good as they were last year.
And Marshawn Lattimore is, people forget, still a shutdown corner in only his second year. And it's not a shocker if the Saints usually don't get beat down by the same team twice. Like, they only lost to the Panthers because they sat all their players the second time around. But they had the Panthers figured out. They can gut it out against tough defensive teams. The Bears, yeah, they had it ugly. Eddie Jackson might play. His ankle's still messed up. But you still have to contend with Michael Thomas. You still have to contend with all those players. Yeah, they'll have Ted Ginn Jr., but Tre'Quan Smith, as a rookie, he's a wild card.
Woo is taking the Saints. He said, I mean, he's taking the Eagles, but he thinks the Saints have a better defense and more weapons. So that really doesn't make sense, Woo. And they're also in the
Cowboy
NFC
fan
East.
Logic.
So why would you want to play the Eagles so you could lose?
No, so he could have the
oh, I think he NFC thinks he has a better shot against the Eagles than the Saints. Biased
in Jerry World. And then he could say the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl after we just done an NFC title game at home with the true NFC champions.
If there's a Cowboy and Chargers Super Bowl, I don't know if I want to live
blow
anymore.
Up the state.
Like, for real, like,
forget Black History Month. Just blow up everything. I haven't got my taxes. Just blow up every fucking thing.
All right, man.
I just want my tax returns, bro.
So on that note, is there anything else you want to get to before we get to the rants? So I feel like
rest
we're
in
a good
peace to Chargers defensive tackle Brandon Mebane's daughter, she's premature. She died of a birth. It's like a birth defect.
Oh, wow.
He's still going to play. He's still going to play.
It's really tragic, man.
That's a tough human being right there. He's one of the dudes who's like, man, it's so hard to find. He was one of the Chargers players complaining like, man, they won't rent black people houses out here in L.A. for me to even find a house playing for the Chargers. It's rough. He had that to start the season. And now this, like, it's really sad. Keenan Allen, he's actually about to have a daughter or have a kid. His wife's supposed to give labor today. They induced her labor. I don't know if she has given birth yet, though, because he's supposed to fly out tonight or tomorrow for the game. So rest in peace to, you know, condolences to the family of Brandon Mebane and congratulations to the family of Keenan Allen. So hopefully that's why, you know, yeah, I got to root for the Chargers. They're a team of destiny. They're resilient.
Yeah,
team.
Man, that's crazy. I don't even know all that.
Yeah.
All right, man, so I'll go first with the rant then.
Go for it.
All right, man, I'm going to do this proper by muting the other mic since, you know, KB hasn't been doing that on his end the past few weeks on the boards. Nonetheless, man, I spent this week at Consumer Electronics Show, CES, as it's more commonly known. Man, 200,000 people in Las Vegas is a lot. 200,000 tech nerds and PR people and marketing professionals and salespeople and fitness nerds, like, that makes it even more. But you factor in the fact that it was, like, literally all over the place. There's stuff at the Aria, there's stuff at the Venetian, there's stuff at the Convention Center. Adam Silver gave a keynote, like a bunch of people gave keynotes. Like, it was just a lot. And honestly, I'm drained and tired and exhausted. But it was an incredible experience just to be there and witness that, number one. Number two, it was great to see some cool new tech coming out. There's some cameras going into helmets, cameras going into glasses. There's, like, little AI robots, AI luggage that will, like, move with you and follow you around. Like, there's a bunch of, like, random cool stuff that's coming out. But that also might not see the light of day, like, tumblers with speakers in them because, like, you want to spend $50 on a water bottle that can play your music as well. Like, I mean, I get it. It's a cool concept, but, like, really, are you really going to spend $50 on that? I doubt it. Outside of that, man, there's a bunch of like analytics companies coming out for sports, for different data companies you've never even heard of that are just like housing and selling your data and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it's a really interesting time that we're living on. Oh, self-driving cars. I forgot about that. I saw this one self-driving car with literally like monitors over the whole entire screen. It was pretty crazy. You literally just sitting there, and it's like sitting in a sports bar, but it's a car that drives itself. It's wild. They exist. They're out there. They're functional. They're coming soon. Like, I think that one was already in Japan. But it's a crazy time to be alive, man. As we see more and more technology, I think it becomes more and more accessible. It's more and more about how we use the platforms, more so than the platforms themselves. They should be used to heighten the human experience and not hamper it. At least that's my point of view. And besides all that, man, it's just been a really crazy time for me, running around all over the place. I'm exhausted. But it's a beautiful and challenging experience because I'm really gaining ground and people are starting to see it and people are starting to really respect my hustle and grind, and I'm getting to my 10,000 hours. So, yeah. Pass it off to you, KB.
All right. So, that's weird. This start to the year has been kind of just been reflecting on a lot. Kind of just in stasis, I guess. Just actually sitting still. Just prepping myself for what's going to come this year. What? Yep, weight loss is one of those things. Weight loss, going back to school, finishing, getting my finances all the way back in order, and ending this year, I'm just going to say it, I will leave this year with $10,000 in my bank account, and I will somehow double my funds, my income. I will double or triple it. But one way or another, through saving and smart investments, I will leave this year with 10 grand in my bank account. I don't know how. I don't know how the hell it's going to happen. But I just know it's going to happen. Because I'm going to make it happen somehow. But enough about me. I just want to say I'm really glad that Santoya Brown got clemency and will be let out of jail this year in August. She was a sex trafficking victim. She murdered the person who raped her and was sold to her, or she was sold to when she was like 16. She served 15 years. She's like 30 now, going on 31. And I'm glad that she's going to get a chance to start her life over. Yes, she'll be 30, but she deserves her freedom. We shouldn't be punishing victims of sex trafficking because of some stupid-ass mundane law. And in this case, it's like this. She killed a white man and went to jail. And we know what happens when black people commit crimes. They get caught. And they usually don't get out. In this case, I'm glad justice was done in her favor. Another thing. Now they're trying to pretty much, I guess it's Escaping Neverland or something like that. Now there's another documentary in the works to pretty much say Michael Jackson was a molester and all this other stuff. I just want to say this. Cancel culture is bullshit in terms of, you can't cancel everyone. Like, you can't cancel people who are allies and, yeah, maybe they were fuck-ups when they were younger, but they've changed and they're better people. You shouldn't be canceling those people. You shouldn't be canceling people who may agree with you in a slight way and want to do things differently, but still actually believe in your cause. You shouldn't want to cancel everybody. But this cancel culture bullshit is really whack because, honestly, all of us could get canceled. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who are dumbasses in high school. First off, I would cancel myself and then bring myself back to life and then tell y'all to go fuck yourselves. That's just me. But all seriousness, like, this whole cancel culture bullshit, wanting to just take everyone out for every little thing, it's whack to me. But it also, like I said in my tweet that went viral last week, a lot of y'all are cowards. You will jump all on the R. Kelly and shit bandwagon, but you won't do shit about that Catholic priest that's raping little boys at your church and he's been doing it for 15 years. And it's an open secret, and y'all know, but y'all don't say shit.
Not only the Catholic Church.
Oh, the Catholic Church, I'll just use an example. I mean, in the black community, a lot of predation is an open secret. But what we don't talk about is what's done to little boys and how they're molested. Like, if you go watch the movie Anton Fisher, we never talk about all the abuse that young black boys take sexually. They're already being pushed through the prison to pipeline system. We already see that. They're thrown in all... told they're autistic and have to be given all types of medication and all this other shit. They're already discouraged and pretty much dismantled emotionally and psychologically at an early age in front of their black female counterparts and other children. Like, I could take race out of it and just say we don't really take serious abuse against young boys and we don't really value it. And I'm just going to say, if we're going to actually stop this predatory culture and rape culture, we have to actually go at everyone who is doing it and not just see rape and assault and things like that as crimes that only men commit towards women. Violence is bidirectional, last time I checked. So, like, you can't go after these people over here, but then there's a serial killer around the corner, but you ain't gonna say shit about that. Like, you can't have it both ways. As Uncle Ben once said, with great power comes great responsibility. Now, more than ever in the age we're in, we have more power than ever to hold past generations accountable, which is what I'm glad is happening with this R. Kelly shit. Because our parents have a lot to answer for that they don't really want to answer for. Because let's be honest, as millennials, we get told we're the laziest. We have the most resources, but we're technically the brokest and have all these generational curses that we're trying to unlearn. So we don't fuck up our kids' lives and our lives. But our parents and grandparents really don't get off the hook. They kind of don't have to answer for all that. So I would say focus on, you know, getting rid of those generational curses that we're going through, and canceling everybody ain't the way to do it. Not talking about both sides of being a predator isn't the way to do it. Because I'm telling you, and I've said this to Pete before, I've said this on this broadcast before, and we can go back to, I'm going to use the Sandusky situation as an example. Nobody talks about that anymore. Nobody talks about how ruined those boys' lives are. Because as a nation, we're like, oh, he's horrible, he's done, he's out of here. But I don't see anybody marching for those young, I don't see those young boys being put to the forefront of abuse groups. I don't see feminists trying to get on their side and promote them and say, no, it's usually a bunch of man hate. And you can't have progression if you're constantly shitting on one side of the table and that one side of the table wants to break bread with you. And also, yeah, I know there are mad predators or dudes out here. Like, there's a lot of nasty, sick shit we got to unlearn as people. But again, you need to hold everyone accountable who's actually doing the said actions and not just one gender. Stop making everything a fucking gender war. Like, that's whack to me. And also, yeah, I feel like probably 10, 15, 20 years from now, we're going to have a situation where some athletes, some football players, whatever, are going to come out and say, A, I'm gay, and B, I was abused as an athlete growing up. And I want to see how y'all handle that shit. Because don't think there's not a lot of gay athletes out there. They're coming out every day more and more and more. And trust me, abusing children has been around since forever. Like, whether it's gymnastics with Larry Nassar's nasty ass, which, by the way, I think an NFL team used Larry Nassar. No, I think USC used Larry Nassar as, like, their PR to cover up that horrible Cliff Kingsbury situation where they lost offensive coordinator. Either way, quick sidebar, James Saxon should definitely be their USC's offensive coordinator. But anyway, back to my point, and I'm going to just end it here. Attack the culture of rape and the stigmatization of victim blaming and stop attaching only one gender to it. It's about everyone who's being abused, not just everyone we want to focus on for right now. Because to me, that shit is lame. And if it was your younger brother or your younger sister, it didn't matter who did it to them, you would want to defend them regardless. So treat people like that and stop looking at it as, well, it's, my house isn't on fire, because it could be your house next. That's all I got to say.
All right, man. Well, you know what time it is. It's time to wrap it up. Touchdowns and Tangents. 105. Live from the Good News Radio Station. I'm Pete D. Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Frank James Berry.
I'm at Pete Certified on Twitter.
I'm at Ozo Grande, Ozio Grande.
And as always, you can find this show on the Good News Radio Station. You can find it on xsquad.com, xsquadradio.com, full press coverage, and Spreaker, along with all your favorite podcast
Spotify,
apps.
Spotify, iTunes, all that good stuff.
Google Play, Stitcher. Alexa, Alexa, iHeartMedia, TuneIn, Radio FM, Radio Public, Podbean, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, man, you know what it is. If you like this show, please, please, please share it with a friend. Like it, rate it, do what you got to do, man.
And,
all right.
You know, continue the dialogue, whether it's in the chat room or in your own households, because sports is a microcosm of life. You can't just escape that once you leave the field.
Yeah, and shout out to Jackie for saying it's not a gender thing and that if more men came out, I'm sure that there would be women to support them.
Oh, and yeah, you'll totally tune in why Raiders fans are the worst. I'll definitely tune in to Ladies Night to hear that slander. Okay, Pete, with the new theme music? Alright. Alright.
Because there ain't no half stepping.
Very true. Especially if you're running back in the hole this weekend because the defense is hit hard. So, good luck. Except the Chiefs.
That was such an NFL Network statement. Just stop.
The Chiefs' defense is trash. That's what I really want to say.
Like the back of your neck.
Like your whole entire hairline.